Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, I'm privileged to welcome a very, very accomplished physicist, entrepreneur, and venture capitalist from Israel. Eliezer, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jesus.
Eliezer is the co-founder of the Israeli VC Association. He's the co-founder of Reds Capital. He's a teacher and he's an author of a book called For Adults, From Startup to Smartup, and for Children, The Little Innovator. So Eliezer, tell me, what would you say are three key milestones in your life or your career?
The milestones that I would mention in my career, mm-hmm, is first of all, when I was a child, right, still a high school child, I went to a camp at the Weizmann Institute. The Weizmann Institute is a very famous science institute.
Yeah.
And the institute decided that the scientist must take care of also of education of young children.
Right.
And we had a direct contact and direct program of 2 weeks with scientists at the Weizmann Institute. It was very intensive. And I think that this had a big influence on my life. Mm-hmm. The other milestone in my life is when I founded the first startup. Mm-hmm. So this was the start of my way in the field of entrepreneurship and innovation. And then afterwards, the third milestone is when I founded my first venture capital fund, mm-hmm, in Israel. And then I continued in other countries, in the United States, in China, and mm-hmm, other countries.
So, you know, let's talk about your days as a venture capitalist, you know, yes, and you continue to be that. Tell me, you know, what makes Israel the startup capital of the world?
I think the answer is the ecosystem, the culture and the ecosystem.
Right.
But the question is how this ecosystem and culture were created. Mm-hmm. This is actually the question.
Absolutely.
And it was a big change in the course of Israel, mm-hmm, when Israel developed. And, you know, Israel is a holy land, but there are no miracles here.
Absolutely.
No miracles at all. Yes. So it's a result of hard work, very systematic and hard work. Mm-hmm. And I will say, if I have to indicate the most important factor that driven this change of Israel to become, mm-hmm, the startup nation, mm-hmm, is the policy of the government, mm-hmm, of cooperating with the private sector, the cooperation between the government sector and the private sector. It's a unique way of cooperation where the basis is the differentiation between the objectives of the government, which are economic objectives, mm-hmm, and the objectives of the private sector, which are business-oriented and profit-oriented objectives. Mm-hmm. The combination between the two, establishing a program, mm-hmm, that the common interest will be for the success of this program. Mm. And at the end of the program, the private sector will have their own business and profit results, and the government will have the economic results.
Okay.
So this is the heart of the, if you are asking about the success of Israel. Mm. Actually, I prepared a movie, an animated movie of 15 minutes that I'll send to you the link, yeah, to this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I did not, so I'll send you the link to this movie that summarizes all the milestones of the Israel, of the history of the Israeli venture capital.
Amazing. So, you know, you have played a role of taking the Israeli process for startups to other countries.
Yes.
Tell me more about what is this Israeli process.
The Israeli process, as I mentioned, the Israeli process is based on this, on a basic program of cooperation, mm-hmm, between the government and the private sectors. Mm-hmm. This is the heart. And I took it to other countries. I started in Australia. I had a program, and based on on the meetings and discussions that we had, they established a program very similar in Australia, but with a small change that made it very different, because the government decided to take also a small part in the business, the profit of this program, which was a very bad move. Very bad move, and I told them that I think that it's not correct to do it.
I see.
And then I took it to China.
Mm-hmm.
In China, I spent many years. I did not live in China, but we had we cooperated with a local company and with local governments. With local governments, you know, China is a big country, so you like India.
Yeah.
And, it does make sense to cooperate with the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
So we cooperated with local governments, provinces and cities, and we established programs very similar to what was done in Israel, but adapted. The programs were not adopted, but adapted to the local conditions, their objectives, and to the different times, because this was done in different times than it happened in Israel.
Very interesting. And, you know, you are the co-founder of the Israeli Venture Capital Association. What goes into building a venture capital fund?
In building a fund or the association?
No, a fund. Because then you get multiple people from all over the
place. Look, it depends on the person. There are people who think that venture capital is a very good way to make a financial profit. But when you start a startup, when you start a venture capital fund and say that I established the fund or the company in order to make a financial profit, you fail. You must have a vision. You must have a vision, but also accompanied by action. So you start with a vision. If you have a vision and you have the right action behind it, behind it, it will be successful and you will make money. But don't start with the money.
Okay. And, you know, I've seen with, you know, in several of these venture capital funds, you get a very diverse group of people. Because everyone wants to put some money into the fund and the venture capital manager, they invest. How do you manage diversity of different expectations?
That's not a problem, because the partners, they are limited partners. They are not involved in day-by-day life of the fund. You report them. So they are not very much involved, unless you deal with corporate venture capital. If a corporate venture capital is investing in a venture capital fund, then their interest is strategic interest. They want to accomplish what is called open innovation, to bring new innovation to their companies and to establish, to develop new products and new and commercialize a new product based on these new technologies, or by acquiring the company. So what is called merger and acquisitions.
Okay.
So there is with corporate venture capital, there is more interaction than with regular limited partners.
I see. Okay. And at what stage of a company do you look for an exit?
Look, an exit is an opportunistic event.
Correct.
Okay, you build the company for value, not for exit.
Right.
And if you build it for value, you'll have an exit. And there are different times. Sometimes the passion is more going IPOs. And sometimes mergers and acquisitions. Today, IPOs are a minor part of the exits of companies. And most of the exits are in form of mergers and acquisitions. And this is, it is very clear why it happens. It happens because the large companies are looking to develop new products and to develop their business. They are competing. The world is a small world. It's a global village.
Right.
And companies, big companies are competing. And, you know, If they are competing, like China started to compete with low labor cost, what happens is that if they are successful, the standard of living is going up. Mm-hmm. If the standard of living is going up, right, then the salaries are growing. The salaries are growing, the competitiveness is going down.
Correct.
So the only solution in order to keep a sustainable growth of the economy and of the competitiveness of the companies is by introducing new products into the market, because the competition in new products is not so difficult like the competition in low-end products or traditional products that are manufactured all over the world where the labor cost is lower.
Amazing.
So if you want to keep the growth of the GDP of the country and the standard of living and the competitiveness of the companies, you have to go to new technologies, new products.
Okay.
New products, the raw material for new products is new technologies. And that is what happens, that the large companies are looking for open innovation. Okay. Open innovation is going to play a very important role in its playing now and in the future.
Okay.
And open innovation is going also with mergers and acquisitions. So here is the place where we are playing our game.
Very interesting. So, you know, as someone who has worked with so many startups across the world, I have a couple of questions for you on startups. You just mentioned that, you know, build a company for value and not for exit. But tell me, based on your experience, what are some of the basic mistakes a lot of startup entrepreneurs make?
The mistake is a big mistake is that people don't realize the definition of success. Mm-hmm. The definition of success in entrepreneurship is management of failures.
Mm-hmm.
This is the definition of success.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a key point. It is also personal, but also it belongs to the community, because it's a culture of being afraid of failure.
Mm-hmm.
So if you accept failure, finally you are successful.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't accept failure, it's a problem. It's a problem, and then you fail, and you give up because you think that you're not capable.
You know, one of the other things that I have seen with startups, based on pressure from their private equity partners, is the private equity wants you to scale up, go national. My question to you is, when should a startup start to scale up?
A startup always wants to scale up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the secret is if you can start sales and have purchase orders.
Right.
Okay. This is not exactly the situation in the field of biotech. Biotech is a little bit different field.
Right. Right.
But usually in all the other fields, you have to create, to generate some sales and some purchase orders to have a backlog. Mm-hmm. And then you can scale up.
Okay.
Raise money for scaling up.
Okay. So I'm going to move on now. I'm going to ask you a question on millennials. The world is now being inherited by the millennials from people like you and me, you know. What are the millennials doing to change the startup environment in Israel?
Yes. They are changing. And in Israel, I'm telling you that culture and different culture was created.
Mm-hmm.
It's a culture, and for this culture, you need a small country like Israel. I always say that God blessed us with a small country with no traditional natural resources.
Correct.
So we had no choice.
Yeah.
We had no choice but start and use the most important natural resource that any country has is the creativity of human
Absolutely
people,
right.
of human
Absolutely.
beings. That's That's the most important natural resource that any country has. And you know, it's a very different resource than any other traditional resource, because mm-hmm. when you have oil or gold and you use them, less is left. But when you use human creativity, more is left.
Correct. Very well said. Very, very well said. So, Eliezer, now let's talk about your books. You know, first tell me about the, you know, from startup to smartup, and then about the little innovator.
Yeah. The book from startup to smartup is first of all describing the stepping stones of the development of the Israeli high-tech and venture capital industries. Okay. And they are very much connected. Mm-hmm. They're very much connected because it doesn't make sense for a venture capital industry to develop with no high-tech companies, no mm-hmm. high-tech opportunities. And there is no way for high-tech companies to grow without the venture capital industry around them.
Right.
Okay? Because usually venture capitalists don't invest far away. Mm-hmm. They invest in their area because they want to watch their investment, their portfolio company, usually, yes? And this is the situation now. And with this book shows the mining, the stepping stones of how this was developed. Mm-hmm. And it starts, of course, it starts with education. Start with education, and education is very important. And we know here in Israel to make to differentiate between education and learning. Mm-hmm. There are two different tasks: education and learning. Mm-hmm. And maybe I will mention here a quote of Einstein mm-hmm. that said that education is what you remember after you forgot everything you learned in school.
Okay, very nice.
Is education so. Yes, it's very important to create this culture and this education. And okay. then in Israel, we started we had a problem with our defense mm-hmm. when the country was created. So this was created the military industry. And everything started with spin-offs from the military industry of people that said, okay, if I have this technology, maybe I can develop a product for the domestic market. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it started. And then the government, with a program that I mentioned before, the government took the role of leading this process, because the government also discovered right. that this is a real natural resource that they have in Israel.
Mm. Okay.
And the book is describing this process. Mm. And I also prepared a movie about it, yeah. showing an animated movie mm. that I sent to you. Then also the book is dealing with the lessons to be learned out of this process. Mm-hmm. What kind of lessons have to be learned? Okay. Now, the book is written in a way like a children book. Mm-hmm. Because what is a children book? When you have a small child that doesn't know how to read and write, mm-hmm. what do? You take it on your laps, mm-hmm. put it on him or her on your
right.
laps.
Right.
Open a book with pictures, but a little bit of text. Mm-hmm. You read the text, and the child remembers the text by remembering the illustration, by remembering the picture.
Correct.
So in this is a way that I also prepared my book. By having, I call it sometimes illustrated messages.
Okay.
Illustrated messages, mm. I call it.
Well,
so there's a way the book is.
Fantastic. I guess, you know, everything that you are doing, it just reaffirms to me about the startup ecosystem of Israel. I mean, you know, you're even encouraging children to do this.
It's an echo, yeah. It was very, very lucky by being part of all this process from the day that I was a child, mm. even up to today, fantastic. With international cooperation between countries and joint programs. I'm also working now on a program with the United Arab Emirates,
mm. yeah.
based on the peace process.
Fantastic. So
and the book, but I don't want to forget the book for children, which for me is more important.
The
book for children is dedicated to children, of course, it's for children, but also for their parents and educators and teachers.
Right.
In order to show how children have to be educated in order to think out of the box, and not to tell them what to say. So to let them create their own imagination and their own world, and that's the key to entrepreneurship. And entrepreneurship is something I think very important here.
Fascinating.
Developing the economy of a country.
Fascinating. So I'm now going to move to the last segment of our conversation, which are some questions for you personally. My first question, Eliezer, now is that over the years, you have built so many businesses, you've done so much, you've given back so much. What are some of the core values you believe in?
Look, if I want to think what was my personal achievement, is that I live today in a very interesting world.
Correct.
In a world of images and imagination and emotion and a lot of emotions, because I think that entrepreneurship is a combination of imagination and emotions, a convolution between the two.
Right.
This is what I think. So I live in a very interesting world where everything is even in the workshops that I give to youngsters, I start with a lot of imagination. I start I show them how to ask questions. Questions that start with why, how, and what, how, and why.
Right.
And they ask questions, unbelievable questions. I tell them there are two conditions. That they are not stupid questions, and questions, not every question must have an answer. But to ask questions and that. So live in a world of imagination and emotions.
Fantastic. And I'm now going to come to my last question to you. And this question, Eliezer, is for the thousands of people who will listen to you and your words of wisdom. What is your advice to a young startup entrepreneur who's starting off on their journey?
To think at the beginning, to think about the vision and prepare an action plan. Not think about, I want to be rich. I want to be rich is not a vision, it's a wish.
Okay.
To be rich. It's a wish. But if I have a vision, I can create a plan in order to achieve this vision.
Okay. And I've got time for one more question. So and this question is my last question to you. That for someone who has done so much all over the world, as you look back at life and as you look ahead, and you said you live in very exciting times now, what does success mean to Eliezer?
Happiness.
Okay.
Happiness. I'm happy with what I did in the past and what I do now, because every day is a new day, you know, every day is a new day with new young people that come and present their ideas, and they argue and they are excited, and it's a very interesting world, the world of entrepreneurship and innovation.
How nice. And who or what inspires you to keep doing so much?
This is my life. I don't think that I would be happy without it. And what is life? Life is to be happy.
I agree with you. Eliezer, thank you so much. It's been such
thank
a pleasure speaking.
It was a pleasure. Thank you very
much. I loved your comment about, you know, the definition of success, which is management of failure. I mean, I thought that was brilliant. Thank you very much again.
Thank you. I'll send you the link to the movie.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.